So we left off yesterday in our somewhat long discussion of the last several nights about what the status of Ochel Nefesh is on Yom Tov, particularly vis-a-vis Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. The question of the Chuya Hutra, whether we view Ochel Nefesh through the lens of the Chuya that fundamentally you shouldn't really be able to cook on Yom Tov, except that the Tzorech Hayom in a sense is Docha, overrides that prohibition. Or do I say no, that I don't need the Chuya for this, it was never us in the first place, it's Hutra. That when I'm cooking on Yom Tov, so it's not Yom Tov he's be cooking. It's Het Degomer, it's not Betoras Dechiyah. So we said that that machlokas led to a whole series of different issues. And one of the issues, the issue that we left off with last night, Shia, was the question of which malachas are actually, can we actually apply the principle of Ochel Nefesh to? So we saw that there are Mishnayos and Sugyos in the Gemara Maseches Beitza that limit the application of Ochel Nefesh. Certain malachas such as tzeid, the trapping, and ketzira, harvesting, are actually prohibited on Yom Tov, not but saying the fact that they appear to be food-oriented. So we saw two different approaches to this. We saw what seemed to be Shittas Rashi, at least the way Tosafot seemed to accept the Das Rashi, that in fact, in HaTorah, any time a malacha could have been done beforehand, and it's not detracting from the quality of the food, that malacha is asur on Yom Tov. And the Ran said, the Ran said it cannot be, and this fits into the Ran's whole scheme of things of yesterday, that the Ran holds that Malachas Yom Tov, Malachas Ochel Nefesh is Hutra, and Hutra by definition means there's no need to try to avoid it, and the only reason why you can't do Kotzer or Tzeda on Yom Tov is purely Midrabanon. Again, the Ran developed an idea why they made that is Midrabanon. In fact, other Rishonim gave other reasons, we didn't even focus on the other reasons last night, but suffice to say that the Ran was representing that group of Rishonim, that those Yisurim are really only Midrabanon. It's that machlokes that we showed him when the Ketzira and Yom Tov is deraisa derabanan, which is an outgrowth of everything we spoke about the last three nights, which now took us to the 12th of the Mamakomas that we began to read together last night about Rodech Alas Dvash. The Gemara quoted, at least according to one opinion, Rabbi Eliezer, that maintains that removing honey from a honeycomb is the halakha equivalent of kotzer, and on Shabbos would be an issa deraisa. It would similarly be an issa deraisa in Yom Tov. Rabbi Eliezer says explicitly, if a person removes honey from a honeycomb on Yom Tov, that would be a problem on a level of deraisa. And that is very problematic. That statement of the Gemara in Shabbos Aliyeh is very, very difficult to understand in light of what we just mentioned before. Namely, that according to those Rishonim who maintain that the malachas asuros, such as kotzer and sod, are in fact prohibited in HaTorah, then it's obvious why there's malachas. It's in a deraisa. But according to the Rishonim, such as the Ran, who say, it's not going to be deraisa anyway. Whatever issa there is in being kotzer and yadra zonim midrabanan, how in the world could we say the yachai of malchus for that? How can you be chai of malchus deraisa for something that in turn is only also midrabanan? So that's a huge problem. And that's a problem that Tosfos raised as well. And Tosfos began to deal with this challenge. How on the one hand can we call kotzer and rodech al zvash, the equivalent of kotzer, how can we call these actions permissible min HaTorah because of Ochel Nefesh, and then turn around the same breath and say, B'yichai Malchus for doing that. So the answer must be that there has to be a scenario where the heter of Ochel Nefesh breaks down. Not because this particular malacha doesn't lend itself to Ochel Nefesh. Min HaTorah, culture is identical to Bishul. Min HaTorah, Tzeda is identical to Shochet, according to the Ran. But there is a case, and we don't yet know what that case is, but there must be a case somewhere that the heter of Ochel Nefesh is suspended. And even if we would be dealing with a malach such as Bishul, the heter of Ochel Nefesh would be suspended. Of course, it now behooves us to find that case. Name me a scenario. Give me a situation where the heter, Hakol Mikol Kol, breaks down. And even the Ran, and even the Rishonim who maintain that Kotzer is on par with Bishul, what would the scenario be that would require that would obligate a person with an onish malchus? So if you take a look at the 12th of the Mamakomos, the end of the Mamakom of Tosis, Tosis gives you a suggestion. Tosis says, it's two lines from the bottom of the Tosis. The Oimeri, the Ikala Okme Berode Samach Lechashecha, the Lochazi Sula Orchin, says Tosis, it must be what we call an Okimta. We're dealing with the following situation where you personally are removing the honey too close to the end of the day. And therefore what? this is a throwback to how we started this year, 3 nights ago. The entire heter of cooking from Yontif to Chol Min HaTorah is based on Hoil, that guests may come. Says Tosfos, if the guests aren't coming, or even if they're coming, but the food won't be ready to serve them before Yontif is over, then all bets are off. And that is not Hoil anymore. Then you have no right to invoke the Kula of Hoil. And if Hoil falls by the wayside, then cooking from Yontif to Chol can potentially be an Issa D'Oraisa. And that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer is talking about. That is the scenario. Says tells us we discovered the case of Rodechalos Javash B'Yontif Chayim Malkas, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Hocha B'Mayaskinon, Rodechalos Chashech Lo Chazisul Orchim. So Baruch Hashem, we could breathe a sigh of relief. Tosfos saved the day. They solved the Ron's problem. And we're in wonderful position. Except for the fact that this Tosfos just created a chumrah for us. I wouldn't even necessarily call it a chumrah, a chiddush that may actually everybody agree to. But Tosfos was the first one to formulate it. Namely, forget about Rodechalos Dvash for a minute. Nobody's doing that today. Forget about Kotzer. Nobody's doing Kotzer. It's at least Tosfos in the Rabbanim. What about Bishul? What about Ofer? What about malachas that are outright permissible on Yontif? If I'm doing them for tomorrow and there's not enough time for the guests to come, should that be a concern? Now, that question in of itself is somewhat of a moot question because you're not supposed to rely on Hoil. It's also to rely on Hoil. Midirabadan, you're not allowed to cook me Yontif l'chol and just say, well, the guests may show up. That's out of the question. Potami malchus, yes. Is it their Isa? No. Also with Rabbanan, of course. So why am I spending time talking about whether the whole works or not? No one's going to invoke Kol anyway. Well, this is a throwback to where we started on Sunday night. You know who's going to invoke Kol? You and I. Everyone in this call is going to rely on Kol. I'll tell you when. On Friday afternoon, your wives are going to be cooking for Shabbos. They're going to be Ofer Miyantif. I can't say with a straight face, L'chol, but we'll call it Ofer Miyantif Li'achayantif. What right do they have to do that? What gave them a head to cook? What right do you have to put a chulent on Friday afternoon if you're not going to eat it till Shabbos? So everyone's thinking in the back of the mind, oh, of course I can do that. It's called the Erev Tavshilin. Well, if you remember back to the first night of Shiurim, we said that Erev Tavshilin only works when the problem in HaTorah has already long been solved. And that's what the Gemara told us all the way back in the first in Ramah Komos, back up Tzachim Daf Mem Vav, that min HaTorah, the mechanism to permit cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos, is not Erev Tavshilin. The mechanism to permit cooking Yom Tov to Shabbos is Hoil. Midrabanan Hoil doesn't work, and therefore Chachamim made an exception to the Issa Midrabanan of Hoil. When it comes out on Friday to Shabbos, if you make it Erev Tavshilin, it doesn't look so bad. We need to observe Shabbos, etc. So we're going to lift, we're going to otherwise circumvent the prohibition Midrabanan. But if we couldn't solve the problem with the Raisa, then your egg and chalarol is not going to do the trick. And therefore, whenever you want to cook this Friday for Shabbos, you have to ask yourself two questions. Are you clear min HaTorah? And then are you clear mid the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan part is easy. I have the Erev Tavshilin in place. The Deraisa part is much more difficult. The answer is Hoil. That solves the problem. But remember, we spoke a little bit on Sunday. That solves the problem, provided that Hoil really works. Remember we said, what if there are no guests? What if guests aren't showing up to my house these days? We raised the question about that. If you're in a desert island, there are no guests around. Tosa said, what if it's too late in the afternoon and the food's not even going to be ready for the guests? So comes Tosa and says that if you put up food, or you, in the case of the Gemara, you pull out the honey and the honey comes samucha chashecha, too close for comfort, it'll turn out there was no hoil. If there was no hoil, then you have an issur d'oraisa in your hands. And this is the source for the Magen Avraham statement in the beginning of the Siman about Erev Tavshilin. But the Magen Avraham warns us that when you have a yontif going to a Shabbos, don't take the attitude and cook late in the day. No. You have to cook early enough in the day that all the food should be ready before Shabbos begins. Because if you put up a chulent at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's cooking into Shabbos, it's not edible for the guests, then you have a very, very serious problem on your hands. So one has to be extra careful this yontif to make sure that all food is done, ready, edible, way before the end of the day. Is the Magen Avraham was so concerned lest people don't follow this, which he thought was a chashash v'nissa d'oraisa. Magen Avraham writes that there was actually a custom in Europe that exists in many communities here as well. When you have a yontif going to a Shabbos, many people like to make Shabbos early. why? I mean, it's always nice to make Shabbos early. Why the special additional fact, additional reason possibly to justify making Shabbos early? Magen Avraham says, because it'll force the women to finish cooking early. Because if you tell them that they have to finish cooking an hour and 15 minutes before it's really the end of the day, and then the children's going to go up an hour and 15 minutes earlier, perhaps. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, even if it goes over the Meirav threshold, it's still not really the end of the day. So it's technically still Ofer Le'oso Hayom. So we could still justify the cooking later in the day if we insist that people begin to Shabbos early. So in fact, there are some shuls, whenever you have a Yom Tov going to Shabbos, many shuls have that option, especially Shavuos time, it's rather late these nights. Many shuls have that option of an early Shabbos. So in Bergen County, we're not having any shuls that are giving that option, but as individuals, you have that option. So you can check with your shuls and on our Torah announcements. So we put in that option for those who want to Mekabel Shabbos early on Friday. So in a sense, have a right to do so. All the concerns that we don't like to start Shavuos early, that generally refers to the first night when it's still concerned to Tmimus and other concerns, whatever those other concerns are. But in terms of the second night, so if it's going to Shabbos anyway, there's not all that much to lose by being Mekabel Shabbos early, and for Karen, according to some, you may actually even gain something. Again, Yesh V'Yesh, different opinions about that. But all of that emanated from this Tosfos. All of it was a result of Tosfos and the Ran Shita. All of it was because the Ran had a unique sheet about the Chuyah versus Hutra. And of course, that goes back to our original question. We've really, in a sense, completed the circle about Erev Tashil and Hoel. We started on Sunday night with Ofer Minyan Tov, and now we're not concluding the Shir yet, but we've really completed the circle in terms of how everything is interrelated, every piece of this puzzle is interlocking in terms of understanding the Chuyah, Hutra, Chonepesh, Pikuach Nefesh, Hoel, etc. But there's still one last piece of the sugya that I want to focus on for a few minutes now before we get into the Chelek HaDrush and Machshava towards the end. And that is this idea that at least the Ran and other Rishonim are telling us that Ochel Nefesh is Chutra. What is the source for this idea? How do we know that? Is there any source in Chumash for that? Is it something we just kind of figured out by learning the Gemara? How did Chazal figure this out? Assuming that it's true. That Ochel Nefesh is Hutra, like the Ran says explicitly, and many we shouldn't subscribe to. What would the source of such an idea be? So there is a Ramban in the 13th of the Ramban Kavos. The Ramban is Perash of Chumash, but the Ramban pretty much explains to us where this idea comes from. The Ramban is explaining the source of the phrase Meleches Avoda. It's a phrase that appears throughout the Chumash time and time again concerning Yom Tov. It's a phrase that is conspicuously missing vis-a-vis Shabbos. The Torah never uses the phrase Melech Tavod v'Shabbos. That matter does not use it by Yom Kippurim as well. So if you look throughout Parshas Ebor, where each and every one of the Yom Tovim is spelled out, everyone, with the exception of Yom Kippur, the Torah speaks about Komaleches Avod L'Osasu, and Shabbos and Yom Kippur are clearly different. What is the significance of that nuance of change of phrases? The Ramban picks up on the 30th of Mamre Kamas. About Perish Melechas Avoda, says the Ramban, Kol Melacha She'ein LaTzarcha Chonefesh. Says the Ramban, the very term, the very phrase Melechas Avoda means non-Ochel Nefesh activities. Ki Inyan Shenema She'esh Yom Tavod, this is Komachtecha, V'chol Avoda Basodeh, V'nevadetem, V'nizratem, V'kayin Haya Oved Adoma. Ramban just gives you a whole series of different psukim scattered throughout Tanakh, where the Pesukim refer to an Avoda conjuring up the image of work, of sweat, of labor out in the fields, Kayin, etc. U'melacha shibu eichel nefesh, ki meleches hana'a lo meleches avoda. You wouldn't call cooking meleches avoda. You wouldn't call carrying food meleches avoda. You wouldn't call lighting candles meleches avoda. You wouldn't call kneading a dough meleches avoda. Meleches avoda l'chud. Umaleches hanoa l'chud. The Torah never prohibited meleches hanoa on Yom Tov. It only prohibited meleches avoda. This is, of course, in stark contrast to Shabbos and extension Yom Kippur, where the Torah never ever uses the phrase meleches avoda, because that would be an inappropriate phrase. On Shabbos, the focus is on the term malacha. And what does malacha mean? Malacha means meleches hamishkan. Malacha means 39 malachas. It doesn't make the slightest bit of difference on Shabbos whether you're sweating out in the fields, whether you're building a house, or whether you are putting your piece of chicken under fire to cook. Those are all melachos, but they're not all meleches avoda. And therefore, the Ramban explains that is ultimately the reason that is the source in the Torah Shebichsav for this idea that Ochol Nefesh on Yom Tov is not almost an afterthought. It's not that really fundamentally, basically, Ochol Nefesh is Asur, but Nebuch, the Torah said it's okay anyway. It's a Dechuya, it's a Pikuach Nefesh. No. It's the ultimate Hutra. It was never Nesar in the first place. Everything is Mutter to prove an Asur. Meleches Hano was never Asur in the first place in Yom Tov. I don't have to be Batir, something that was never Asur Mitchila. So that's the Ramban's theory. Now, truth to be told, even though the Ran seems to buy into that idea, not necessarily does everybody buy into that idea, there is a comment of the Shagas Aryeh, didn't put it on the Mamre Kamos, we'll leave a little bit of Tosh HaBapeh. The Shagas Aryeh, or the Gedolei Acharonim, seem to assume that the very essence of the Heter V'Chol Nefesh is not fundamentally Chutra, but the reason why V'Chol Nefesh is Mutter is because there's some great overriding Tzorech that's Doche, the Yisur of Malacha. What is that great overriding Tzorech? So Sheikh Isaiah says very simple, three words, Simchas Yontif. The Torah wants us to be with Simcha, wants us to rejoice in Yontif. And therefore, the same Torah that says, don't do Malacha on Yontif, which the Sheikh Isaiah seems to be interpreting against the Ramban, means all the Lamites Malachas. The Torah kind of on the side tells us, oh, by the way, don't tell anybody, Ach, Hashi Ochel Chomefesh, Nebuch, you have a big, big Tzor, Simchas Yontif, and what can you do? Leis Breira, okay, so you're allowed to cook on Yontif. The same way you're allowed to take the cholot to the hospital on Shabbos. It's a dechuyah dekeheter. The koach hadoche is the significance of Simchas Yom Tov. That's what led the Shagas Aryeh to conclude that it is inconceivable to have a heter v'chol nefesh without a mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov. And that was the Shagas Aryeh's proof positive that there must be to some degree a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. This is an age-old question in Rishon Moretti about is Simchas Yom Tov apply on Rosh Hashanah? And the Shagas Aryeh said it must. How do you know? Well, we know you like cooking Rosh Hashanah. Everybody knows that. Gemara says it explicitly. Our great-great-grandmas always told us, you're allowed to cook on Rosh Hashanah. How can you cook on Rosh Hashanah? Isn't it also because of Malacha? The answer is there must be a Tzarech. What's the Tzarech? It must be Simchas Yom Tov. So the Shagas Aryeh understood that the Heter V'Chol Nefesh and the concept of Simchas Yom Tov are, in a sense, one and the same. And this is, of course, in direct contrast to the Ramban's theory, to the Ram's theory, that V'Chol Nefesh is not b'toras dechuya, but rather it's hutra mamash heter gomer legamrei. Is there any real nafkamina, real hardcore nafkamina for us in terms of what I take is an ochel nefesh dechuya hutra? At the end of the day, so we said Rabbi Shirun is going to be mutter anyway. The Gemara says, and at the end of the day, according to most of the Rishonim, at least, that you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, even if you could have cooked from Rav Yom Tov, unlike Rashi. There are more quotes, maybe it hasn't been the Rabbanan, if one can, the void, those are already details. Are there any real, real, real practical differences, what that take is on this very notion of the Chuyah versus Hutra? Can we test the Ramban's theory? Ramban's Yisod, that Meleches Avoda means, if it's not Meleches Avoda, if it's not Melecha Shel Avoda, if it's merely Meleches Hana, it is inconceivable to be Asur. Is that really accurate? Is that correct? If we can find a scenario where a Meleches Hana is Asur on Yom Tov, that wouldn't bode well in the Ramban's theory. Because according to the Ramban, there is no Pasuk to Asur Meleches Hana. Everything's built to prove an Asur, and there's nothing to prove an Asur. So if we could somehow, between the lines, find a case where a Meleches Hana will still be prohibited in the Torah, that would, of course, be the antithesis of the Ramban's theory. So I can't say for certain that we find the Gemara to say that. We definitely do find some Rishonim who say that. And the Ramban may not be in sync with those Rishonim. And that's a major machlokes, the fundamental machlokes, Rashi and Tosis, that how to learn a Mishnah in the 14th of the Maamar Kamos. It's a Mishnah Maseches Beitza, Daf Yud Beis Min Aleph. The Mishnah tells, V'shami Omer Me'motzin Lo Sakotav Lo Salulav Lo Sefer Torah Lo Shesirabim. V'shami say in Yontif, you're not allowed to take your baby for a walk, not allowed to carry a lulav and sukkah, not allowed to carry Sefer Torah, because you're just not allowed to carry. What are you allowed to carry on Yom Tov? Food. That's for sure, Mutter. Echol Nefesh. But anything short of food is Asur. Asur to what degree? Asur min HaTorah. We still have a Tirin. And Basil said, it's okay, you can push the baby carriage out of the Erev, you can carry a lulav, you can carry a Sefer Torah, etc. All carrying, in effect, is permissible. These examples of carrying are permissible according to Basil. What is the point of contention between Mishami? So what are they arguing about? So the Gemara has a very famous interpretation in the next line of Marmuk number 14. This magic principle called mitoch. Mitoch is the shortened form for the phrase mitoch shehutro tzol tzorch denam shel tzorch. If the Torah permits carrying l'tzorech, can we say just as l'tzorech is permissible, so to shelo l'tzorech is permissible? Is that principle true? Peshame says, ma pitom, why should that be true? Peshame look at the Pesukim literally and say, if the Torah says you can carry food, you can carry food. Torah doesn't say to carry your baby. Torah doesn't say to carry lulav or sefer Torah. Food, yes. Other items, no. And Basil says, no, it's okay. Mitoch shehut shel tzorach denam shel tzorach. What does that mean? Just how far does that statement of Basil go? And of course, we are familiar. We follow the view of Basil. So we have this attitude, you're allowed to carry a yonti people without an Eruv. That's based on Basil. But what did, perhaps even more important, what did not Basil say? So if you take a look at the 15th of the Memekomas, Tosas is making reference to Rashi. To Rashi, Kimle Rashi's opinion is the Beisilo sphere lo hov hutra legamre. That when Beisilo say, mitoch shehutra l'tzorch utadam shel tzorch, they mean it literally, that it is totally and completely permissible to carry on Yontif. Min HaTorah, under all circumstances. Maybe under very, very limited circumstances, it's prohibited mid the Rabbanim. Maybe we can negotiate, we can talk about it. Mid the Rabbanim, but mid the Torah, there's nothing to talk about. If you skip down now to the end of the 15th Ramah, comes the second paragraph of that Ramah. This is now Tosu speaking. Up to another quote of Rashi, now this is Tosu speaking. V'davka be'otzah she'esh patzorech yantav k'tzas amina mitoch shehut l'tzorech yantav. The cholach on nefesh, but the hutra nami shalot tzorchach on nefesh. All vikat tzorch because sheyesh tzorch. Says Tosfos, you misunderstood, you mistranslated what the phrase shalot tzorch means. Shalot tzorch doesn't mean for no purpose whatsoever. Shalot tzorch means for no food purpose. Does there have to be another purpose? Of course, there has to be another purpose. Why would you think otherwise? After all the examples that appear in the Mishnah are all tzorche hayom. The katan, the sefer Torah, the lulav, other examples, shofar, the boxer, tissues, etc. Those are all tzorech hayom. Where in the world did Beis Hillel say anything about carrying things for no reason? Says Tosas, they didn't, because it's not true. Because you're in fact not allowed to carry things for no reason whatsoever. So we now have a major machlokes between Rashi and Tosas. What did Beis Hillel say? What did they not say? So Beis Hillel said shelo l'tzorech is permissible. What does shelo l'tzorech mean? According to Rashi, means shelo l'tzorech klal. According to Tosfos, it just simply means shelo l'tzorech echol nefesh. But of course, it has to be l'tzorech hayom k'tzas. This is the major machlokes. Rishon machlokes Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah had a pasuk. The Ramah is machmir like Tosfos on this one. So at least Ashkenazim try. If you're carrying outside the eruv, you should think what you're carrying. Do you really need it? Is it l'tzorech hayom? It doesn't have to be an unbelievable tzorech, but a little bit of tzorech hayom. This idea that at least according to Tosfos and Beit Tzedek Yudeis, there exists a possibility of carrying on Yontif, that's awesome in HaTorah. Could the Ramban ever say such a thing? Presumably not. According to the understanding of the Ramban, that the word Melech Zavoda is the engine that's driving the entire sugya, so then how in the world can we say that there are some kinds of Melech Hanos that are sometimes awesome? How in the world could Otsa ever conceivably be prohibited on Yontif bin HaTorah if it's just not Malachas Avoida? So for the fact that Tosfos entertains the very real possibility, actually concludes the halacha, sometimes Otsa is problematic bin HaTorah. Every once in a while we have a desiderata of carrying on our hands. A case of Shalot or a Klal, but it exists. If carrying or other possible halachas that a dunch lolitz or a cloud do exist as being assumed deraisa, that is clearly not in sync with the view of the Ramban. That is clearly much closer to the model of the Shagas Aryeh, that we need something to be doiche. According to Besham, it has to be food. According to Besil, it could be other tzorche hayom, but tzorche hayom it has to be. So, Rabbi Say, to put together all the pieces of our puzzle, we started with a fundamental question. It was Tosfos' question way, way, way back. It seems so long ago, all the way back to Sunday night, but it's definitely a couple of shiurim ago, where Tosus raised the question, how come we find the principle of ho'il, guests may come, vis-a-vis ochel nefesh and yantif, and yet nobody suggests such an idea when it comes to pikuach nefesh. So Tosus says, you're right. We fundamentally should have applied the principle vis-a-vis pikuach nefesh, but just the numbers don't add up. Too unlikely, milsa lo shricha, and therefore don't bother with them. We have the Maran Chalavo gave a little bit more of a lumdish teretz that ochel nefesh is mutta starting in the morning, starting the night before. It's mutta. When you want to create an iser, ho will prevent the iser from being chal. Whereas when it comes to pikuach nefesh, the starting with Shabbos begins, you can't do malacha. If and when an emergency arises, then we can discuss doing malacha. So you can't invoke ho'il to change, in a sense, what the status quo was. And we offered a third possibility on our own, and that was the distinction between the chuya versus sutra. And to support that theory, we had to look in Yerushalayim to find, is that distinction really true? And of course, we found the Ran who said it, unlike the Rash who equated the two, and that took us down the whole path of Riva Bishurin. But at least within the world of the Ran, we discovered at least a Rishon who subscribes to that difference between Echol Nefesh and Pikuach Nefesh, one being Dechuya, one being Mutra. And in passing, the Ran proved for us that it must be that way. Echol Nefesh must be Hutra, because we don't find any limitation of Efshim Yod Yom. And we were quick to point out that the Ran doesn't find that limitation, but Rashi did. And then we went on to say that that Machlek is Rashi and the Ramban. Is there a limitation which basically results in what you think about Kotzer? Is Kotzer and Yontif Asim and Atar Asim and Rabbanan? Everyone has to address that Gemara about Rodeh Chelos Tvash. And if you assume that Kotzer is not per se Asur and Yontif, then you have to create a scenario where it's Asur and Yontif. And Tosus came up with this idea of Rodeh Sabach HaChashecha, which got the ball rolling for the Magen Avraham, the Minhag Yisrael, and all the potential complications of Ho'el practically for us. Then we concluded by saying, in terms alone with this idea of Echol Nefesh being Hutra exist, what would the source of Chumash be? So we discovered in Ramban and Parshas Ya'amor, Malachas Avodah versus Malachas Ha'na'ah. Then we pointed out that the Shagas Aryeh disagrees with the very theory of the Ramban that led the Shagas Aryeh to conclude his unique idea about Tzipras Yad and Rosh Hashanah. And we wanted to test case the Ramban. And we went to see, does a scenario exist where carrying, or any of the Malachas Echol Nefesh, would be actually awesome in a Torah on Yom Tov? The answer is yes, and that would clearly not be in sync with the Ramban. And we discovered that also was a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in Maseches Beitzah Daf Yud Beis. According to Rashi, so there is a possibility. I'm sorry, there's no possibility of carrying really being also even shlotzer klal is mutar. But Tosfos, who watered down mitoch a little bit and applies mitoch only when there's at least a tzorech hayom, not tzorech achol nefesh, I say at least tzorech hayom, that would clearly indicate, unlike the view of the Ramban, that would clearly negate that theory of the Ramban of Melechas Avodah in contrast to Melechas Hanoah. So we saw at least some of the basic Rashi Prakim in terms of a sugya that permeates so much of Yontif, touches on so many Yisodos, both in terms of Yontif, in terms of Echol Nefesh, and of course the comparisons and contrasting to Pikuach Nefesh as well. So now let's move on to the Chelek HaMachshava. We left off last night. We'll try to just finish up a little bit about that piece that we were reading the last two nights of Reb Chaim Oizer. Then I want to conclude tonight with some of the words of the Bechitzik Azores from the Rambam, put together from several different Rambams. So let's pick up with the Chelek HaMachshava. The last paragraph, the page that began with Devar Machadim. Just to recap where we left off, this was the introduction to Reb Chaim Oizer's Shuvas soon after World War I came to its conclusion. Reb Chaim Oizer was bemoaning the terrible physical and spiritual situation of the Jewish people at the time, the great suffering that the war had brought upon them. And he takes chizuk, he draws inspiration from the fact that the Jewish people time and time again have taken the Koach HaTorah, the Ruach HaTorah, and he used such beautiful, beautiful phrases to describe that journey of the Jewish people throughout its difficult history, and being able to be mechazik themselves and drawing their inspiration from the Torah words itself. So we're going to skip a little bit. We'll go down to the last paragraph in this piece. And I thought it would be chaval to read this akdom and not to touch at least partially on this last paragraph. Because the last paragraph, in a certain sense, speaks to us, because Reb Chaim Oizer is now turning around and he addresses the last paragraph towards the Jews in America. Now again, you know, a little bit of a, you know, of an appreciation of context of history. You're talking about American Jewry in the early 1920s, not quite the same American Jewry of the 2020s, but there were still, there was quite a large number of Jews who had already arrived at that time. And it's a very difficult situation, and now's not the time to talk about the challenges of the time. Rav Chaim Eisner is talking basically to whoever wants to listen, to the Chidei Skula, to those who were, those who are opening their eyes and ears to the message of the Gadol HaDor from Europe. And he turns with the following words of great, great, great inspiration and love, and something that I think we can really glean, we as the 100 years later, the Jews of America. B'yichud niglasa, last paragraph, B'yichud niglasa klaster p'nei ha'uma. Uniquely, the light, the shining of the face of our nation has been revealed. Torah midosav, its purity of its character traits. Ruach Yisrael ha'meyah ba'or ha'Torah. Didn't even realize, a little good PR for the show, that the spirit of the Jewish people that is enlightened with the light of Torah, the avas chesed, and or ha'Torah and avas chesed always go hand in hand. We spoke about this many times before in Shavuos. The two kriyas, so to speak, of Shavuos are the Aser HaSadibros and Megillas Rus. We learn a few other things here and there, but those are the two major kriyas that we have. Of course, highlighting the fact that the two go hand in hand, that our ultimate kabbalah to Torah has to be that combination of a commitment to Benam Lamakom, a commitment to Benam Lechaveiro. It's the Or HaTorah and the Avos Chesed that shine together. And it's that combination, says Reb Chaim Eisner, that has been revealed in its glory. V'yachenu, Yilideinu, Yilidei Medinaseinu. People, says Reb Chaim Eisner, since Unzer mentioned us, they're from us. They're the ones who came from our countries. The Jews, Reb Chaim Eisner lived in Lithuania, but the Jews of Lithuania, the Jews of Poland, the Jews from the Jewish communities of Europe, Jews of Russia, Hamizgorim be'eva layam ba'America, those who have found themselves on the other end of the ocean. Now, you can just imagine, you know, we view ourselves at the other end of the ocean. We are physically on the other end of the ocean, but it has a very, very different meaning today. You know, up until 2.5 months ago, you could cross oceans, and it simply just meant they drive to Newark Airport, hopping onto a plane, and they're getting across the oceans, and sometimes your trip to Newark Airport may have taken you longer than getting over the ocean. So the world was very, very small. Now it's a little bit bigger than it was, but still relatively small. In the days of Chaim Eisner, a trip across the ocean meant sailing the Atlantic was Mevelayam, Mevelayam. And there were Jews in America, Vishari Arasis. At that point in Jewish history, there were already Jewish communities in other places, other far-flung places throughout the world. Asher yachad im ma'aseim ha'gedolim v'akabirim, in addition to their great actions. What are the great actions here? Chaim Eisner sitting in Vilna. What's his great admiration for the Jews of America? L'tovas alfei revavos acheim ha'ashukim v'ritzutzim v'tfusos ha'gola. He says they're keeping their brethren alive in Europe. The Jews in Europe, post-World War I, were suffering terribly, physical deprivation, poverty. Poverty had always been a grinding poverty for the Jewish people. Of course, all the anti-Semitism of hundreds and thousands of years of anti-Semitism had contributed to the situation where the Jewish people were constantly not able to provide a livelihood for their families properly. They were constantly being persecuted, and financially they were constantly taken advantage of. And says Reb Chaim Eisner, the Jews in America, and again, this is 1920 America. Nobody should be insulted, but there was no Teaneck in 1920 America. There was no Five Towns yet in 1920 America. Most of the Jews were living in the Lower East Side, and the ones who had made it in the world, the ones who really, really had moved up, they either made it over the East River, maybe they made it over to the beginnings of Brooklyn. If they were lucky, they made it to Williamsburg and Brownsville. But maybe they made it up to the Bronx and probably the richest of the rich. It's made it somewhere up to maybe Upper Manhattan even. So, you know, you're not talking about millionaires for the most part. And Chaim Eisner is thanking them. On behalf of the Jewish community of Europe, of Eastern Europe, he is extending an letter of appreciation the Jews who are helping support their very, very poor, destitute brethren. But it's not just that. It's not just the support for food. Chaim Moshe says what they're doing is naslu yadam lahachzik es otzros amenu haruchaniyim. They rose to the challenge of understanding the significance of the spiritual treasures of the Jewish people. We thank from the bottom of our hearts, says Reb Chaim Moshe, those pure and wholesome of our brethren. This is right out of Parshas Vayigash. When Yosef tells his brothers, that the Kiddush Baruch Hu had arranged that they had been sent to America to support the Jewish people of Europe to enable Torah to be learned. Also, lahachzik es mostos haTorah kemeaz, ulechadish b'nei chadorim v'yeshivos, laseis lam tzirosim harishona, legadol gedoli Torah asher yulim oris b'Yisrael. Says Reb Chaim Moshe that the Jewish community in America, far, far away, sensed and understood that it's not enough just to support the physical needs of the people, but they have to care for the spiritual needs as well. It's not for nothing that the great Rosh Hashivas of Europe used to come, many of them known to us, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chanan, others who came and traveled America far and wide to support the yeshivas, to be able to keep the flame of Torah alive. And those years of the flame of Torah of Europe in the 1920s and 1930s, that although so much of it was ultimately extinguished in the Holocaust, but the Sheiris HaPleita survived. Those few Yechidim who made it out, different shapes or forms, and rebuilt Torah both at our shores, and of course, no question, rebuilt Torah with the forces of rebuilding Torah and creating Torah in a certain sense from scratch in Eretz Yisrael as well. We are reaping the benefits of those years. Reb Chaim Moshe, again, is writing this 100 years ago. Chacham Adav Binavi. So I don't know what he saw and what he understood for the future. But there's no doubt that Reb Chaim Moshe is looking down on Bergenfield, New Jersey. And I won't say Bergenfield because I'm sitting in Bergenfield, but I see an array of different people, different places. Reb Chaim Moshe is no doubt looking in Shemayim. And perhaps the Arsameach, the Meshech Chochmah, is by his side because they were friends and colleagues. They came from the same part of the world. And looking down and saying, well, 100 years later, and what are Jews doing as they get ready for Shavuos? They're sitting and reading our Divrei Chizuk. The Jews of America are sitting and learning a sugya of the Chuyin Hutra. I don't know whether either the Meshech Chochmah or Reb Chaim Moshe could have dreamt in the wildest dreams that there would be Jews who would be sitting and learning to the deepest of the sugyas of the Chuyin Hutra and Medayik and Rans and Rambans and Rashi and Daisim and everything we've been doing for the last 4 nights. It was a dream come true. It was a dream of the wildest dreams. And what gave Reb Chaim Moshe and Meshech Chochmah about their ability to write those almost prophetic words is because they believed in the Koach HaTorah, because they understood that the Koach HaTorah is eternal. And as Reb Chaim Moshe described so beautifully, poetically the other night, that the Jew takes his walking stick in hand, and no matter where he is, he understands both for himself and for his children and for his community, understands the Koach of Limud HaTorah and transmission of Torah. And that's the Yesod HaYesodus of everything they're all about. But I want to continue now with the last part of our Divrei Chizuk V'Sorus. And I just used the phrase of Yesod HaYesodus, the foundation of foundations. And I want to pick up with that phrase as well. But I want to move back to Jewish history a little bit. I want to take us out of Bergenfield to Tavshin Pei, out of Lithuania of the 1920s. I'm going to go back, another place, another time, another place, another personality. Egypt, Cairo, back in the 1100s, to the world of the Rambam. And the Rambam is sitting down and about to begin his monumental work. And the Rambam, at this point, had already written works that even if he never got around to writing Mishneh Torah, the Rambam would have already have taken his place as a major player in Torah. He had already at a young age, the Perashat Mishnayos. He had already written Sefer Mitzvahs. He had already written Maror Nevuchim. He was already known, had already written many, many tshuvas, and was known as a leader without any question of that part of Jewry. And now the Rambam sat down to author the work that has become one of the pillars of Psak Halacha for the entire world, the entire Jewish world, Ashkenazi and Sephardi. The Rambam is about to author that work that has become one of the pillars of the world of Lomdus, of the Teiris. It is inconceivable for a Shir not to have a Rambam, a Diakin Rambam, something around the word Rambam. I count how many times any given Shir the word Rambam is said. The entire world of Torah today, we spoke a little bit about, the world of the Derech HaYeshivas, the world of the Torah, Torah of the Vilna Gaon, through Rav Chaim Volozhiner, through Rav Chaim Briska, through the Rav of today, and all the different nuances of that world. So the Rambam is, of course, a prominent player. And this is how the Rambam begins his work. Take a look. The Rambam says, Rishon Sefer Maduch, Zesed Yatera, Perek Aleph, Loch Aleph. Yesod HaYesodos V'Abud HaChochmas. This is the foundation of all foundations and the pillar of all wisdom. Leda, remember that word, to know. Sheyesham Motzi Rishon, to know that there is a Motzi Rishon, called Creator, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, who Mamtzi Kol Nimtza. He is the source of everything that exists. There is nothing in the world, nothing in the universe, nothing in all of existence that was, is, or ever will be, that was not put into place, not created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chayei De'Atzmo. Without that, says the Rambam, don't even bother reading Halacha Beis. That's the Yesod HaYesodos. That's everything. But the Rambam said a word. The Rambam says, Leda. You have to know. How do you do that? That's a very, very hard word. Leda. How do you know something to be true? So the Rambam, in Hilchos Tshuva, also printed on the Ma'amar Kamos. If we take a look at Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Yud, Halacha Vav, the Rambam tells us that Deya, Das, is so critical in our Avodas Hashem to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Rambam writes in Halacha Vav, when he finishes Hilchos Tshuva, Tovi Yadua Ubarur, it is known, She'ein Avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikshares Belibo Shel Yadam, a person can never attain the true Avas Hashem unless he focuses, concentrates, puts aside the distractions, and lest one think that this is something which is only for the special, the Yechidei Skula, the Rambam quickly dispels that notion. Kama Shetziva V'Amar, B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. That pasuk is kriyash maseh by each and every Jew twice a day. We are obligated to be oivus Hashem b'chol lev b'chol nefesh. How does that happen? Al b'deya shiyad ehu. The more you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'apia deya, apia ava. Knowledge results in love. Ima'at ma'at, imarbeh arbeh. You want to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little bit? Get to know Him a little bit. You want to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu a lot? Get to know Him a lot. And of course, that pushes back the question, and how in the world do you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What mechanism do you use to attain this grandiose level of love and deya that the Rambam started out Mishneh Torah with, that Yesod HaYesodos Leida? How do you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What trick do we have up our sleeve to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Rambam Mishneh Torah, we leave this part out now because this is not the main focus for right now. The Rambam talks about the notion of understanding Teva, looking at the Chochmas Hashem, taking the opportunity to open one's eyes and to appreciate the godless Mangavu Masech Hashem. But it's a Rambam that I want to share with you in Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam, in Sefer HaMitzvos, on the Rambam Kamos, the Rambam Mitzvah Shlishis. Rambam writes, "He should tivanu la'avo yisale." There's the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. V'zeh, what does it mean to love Hashem? Shenizbeinein v'naskil mitzvoisav u'pu'uloisav. That we have to think, we have to use our minds, we have to use our intellect to understand the depth of mitzvoisav, to learn the sugyas, to learn the gemaras, to learn the Rambams, learn the Rambans, learn the Reb Chaims, learn the Ketzosim, to understand to the greatest ability that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, the intellectual gifts, shenizbeinein v'naskil mitzvoisav v'loisav achidasigayim. It is aneg v'hasagosoi tachas atainug, and that hasaga, attaining of knowledge, is the greatest of pleasures and joys attainable to a human being. V'zosi ava mechuyevus. That's what we're here for. Peloshin sifrei, l'fisha nemar v'ahavtas shem lekecha eni yodea keitzer avitz abakom. How do I do that? The sifrei says v'ahavtas shem lekecha, show me how. Talmud Lomi, the Pasuk tells us, the Torah holds our hands and says, by understanding the Dvar Hashem, atamakir es mish amabai olam. You want to know how to recognize, how to become acquainted, how to become close and develop a loving relationship with mish amabai olam, to the Baruch Shalom, is through the vehicle of Limud HaTorah. But the Rambam completes the picture. We have almost like a theme, a thread connecting different Rambams. We had a Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah where he begins and tells you what the purpose, what it's all about, what's the ABCs of this whole Yadus, this Leida you have to know about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam elaborates a little bit upon it. And then even in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam gives us the recipe and how to do it. And finally, the Rambam concludes. Because let's not forget, the Rambam started a book, and he ends the book on the same note. Havdalah Abdullah, very often, the end of a book, the book ends. The book ends, completes the circle from the beginning, like a good sugya. You come to the end of the sugya, so then you realize it's actually one circle, one globe, it's one big sugya. The Rambam began his monumental work of Mishneh Torah, where he summarized and put into place all of Tosha Bapeh and began with Yediyas Hashem, and he concludes with Yediyas Hashem as well. But take a look at Hilchos Melachim, where the Rambam depicts what Yemos HaMashiach is going to be all about. And the Rambam previously, the previous Halach has told us, don't spend too much time thinking about when Mashiach is going to come, because we don't know. And don't spend too much time working out all the details of how it's going to play out, because we're not quite sure. We won't know the details until it actually shows up. But one thing we do know, says the Rambam, the basic tzur of Yemos HaMashiach, we do know. We do have a Messiah, we have a clear tradition, we have psukim that bear this out. Nevuos, clear as day, what the essence of Yemos HaMashiach is all about. And the Rambam describes what the end goal, what the end game of Olam Hazeh is. And that's the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis, Hilchos Melachim, Hilchos Dal Hei. The Nevi'im the Chachamim did not desire Yemos HaMashiach. The goal was not they should control the world. That's not what we're in. That's not what we're all about. That's the last thing we're interested in doing, subjugating others. We don't need the gifts from the non-Jews. We don't need Yemos HaMashiach to get a good dinner, get a good steak and a good drink. So what do we need it for? Says the Rambam, you want to know what the Chachamim said? You know what the Nevi'im wanted it? What did Moshe Rabbeinu look forward to Yemos HaMashiach? What did Yehoshua ben Nun? What did Shmuel HaNavi? What did Yechezkel HaNavi? What did Rabbi Akiva? What was their vision of Yemos HaMashiach? What were they longing for Yemos HaMashiach? Says the Rambam, L'kadei sh'yu p'nuyim b'tayir b'chachmas. They should have the ability to have a clear mind, to be able to delve into the depths of Torah and its wisdom. There won't be anything that's stopping them. This is part of the Rambam's whole theory about how Olam Haba is the world of Neshamos. Another sugya, another world, another discussion, not for now. But in terms of this world, the physical world, we know is Olam Hazeh, says the Rambam. The end game of Olam Hazeh is Yemos HaMashiach. because that's the time in history. And what's the world going to look like then? Says the Raman Aloche. He says, man, there won't be any more famine. There won't be any more wars. No more jealousy, no more fighting. All the goodness will be there. There's no need to fight. Everyone will have all the wealth, all the wonderful blessing and bounty of this world. It'll be like dust. Everything will be around, easy to attain. So what's the goal going to be? What's the mindset of humanity going to be at that point? The whole world. To know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Will be great Tamid HaChamim. The Yodim Devarim HaStumim HaAmukim. They will understand all the depths of wisdom, all the depths of Torah, the Chalakim of Torah that we can't even begin to fathom. Ma'aseh Merkava will be real, not just the Haftorah and Shavuos morning. And the deepest of secrets of Torah, the mysteries of creation, will be known. And as the Rambam himself writes in Talmud Torah, one can only reach that level after knowing the entire Torah of Torah Sanigla. When a person knows Kol HaTorah Kula, Shas and Poskim, knows from Bava Kamma through Yevamos, from Nida back to Brachas, and then if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him that Tziyat Nishmaya to go the next step, that's already a chiddush. The Rambam says most people never ever reach that goal, but Yemos HaMashiach, even that will be attainable for all, because the great chokhmah that will now be present in the world, the asigul das borom, each person will be able to be masig, be able to grasp the essence, will be able to grasp the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kvikecha adam, whatever ability a human being has. Shenemar, Kimola Oretz, and catch the last word the Rambam uses, Deya Es Hashem, Kamayim L'Yom Chasim. The world will be filled with wisdom, with great wisdom and great understanding. And that's how the Rambam signs off Mishneh Torah. He started off with Yesodei Yesodos, Leida. A few different places along the way, he gave you some guides on how to accomplish Leida. And now, you can see the heart of the Rambam. Usually when you read a Rambam, you see the great brain, the great wisdom, the great intellect of the Rambam. Here you can hear the Rambam's heart beating. You can hear what it means to have a Jewish heart, to achaktolo b'chol yom shiyavo. The Rambam setting the tone for us, what we're supposed to believe in, what Yemos HaMashiach is all about. It's not surprising that the Yontif of Zman Matan Tereseinu, a Yontif more than any other day of the year, that's includes all of that we've been talking about. All of these themes become real. It's Bamban Tereseinu, because they were all included in that great gift that was bestowed to Klal Yisrael. It is not coincidental that on this Yom Tov, there's also a Kriyas HaMegillah, a Megillas Rus, that concludes with the words, V'yishai, holier is David. David HaMelech is born, because David HaMelech is that spark that's going to eventually light up into Melech HaMashiach. Took many, many years, many centuries, and we're still waiting for that spark of David HaMelech to be rekindled and to light up the world once again of Deas Hashem Kamayim L'Yom Chasim. But what more appropriate time than the Yontif of Shavuos for us to begin to look forward to that day of coming. So just as the Rambam took us to Kol HaTorah Kula, starting with Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, concluding with Hilchos Malachim, 14 Svarim of Yad HaChazak in between, the Rambam begins with Das as Hashem and concludes with Das Hashem as well. We've traveled years and centuries in Jewish history. We met the great personalities of the Rambam, Mishneh Torah. We've seen how our great Gedolim have given us the charge. Give a special, special charge to the Jews, to us, the Jews of America, to continue the flame of Torah, the Or HaTorah, to make sure the Or HaTorah glows and burns in its purest, purest flames. And that's the celebration of Zman Matan Seinu, which is almost upon us. So I wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov. Each and every one of us in their own way should be zoicha to be part of this great literal Or HaTorah. I don't mean the name of the shul on that one, but I mean the Or HaTorah of the light of Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata d'shmaya that we should see the time very, very soon in our own days. Ki mala art des Hashem, kamayim liyam chasim. Good yontif to everybody.
Yontif. Thank you so much. Have a good yontif.
Yontif, Rabbi. Thank you so much.
Rabbi, two quick way to close the recording.
Yeah, let me just close the recording for a second. Hold on.
Yontif, Rabbi.
Yontif.